Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. And we have so many wonderful things to share with you, as we do every day. But the first thing right off the bat, I always like to give out for later on in the show, if you would like to call in and chat with me directly, is our toll-free telephone number. Actually, we have two toll-free numbers. One for those of you in the U.S. The number is 877-876-5227, or Canada only, 888-810-8322. We also have a direct line that will be open, and this will be in the latter half of the show, 530-876-9146. Do you love dogs? Well, if you love them as much as I do, and if they have a special place in your heart and your mind, you're absolutely going to be delighted to join with me and listening to a man, Bill Gorton. He and his associate, Robin, have put together a wonderful book called 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets. Don't tell me you have never had problems with your dogs, folks. I know better. I have had Scottish Terriers. I absolutely love them, but every breed has its personality and traits. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think being aware of how to train animals, dogs, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is so significant because they just like us, have their own personality styles. Now, I want to tell my audience a little bit about you and Robin. You are professional dog trainers, and
correct,
you are the founders and co-owners of what's called Tall Tales Training, and that's T-A-I-L-S training, and canine education. And you've been involved with dogs for well over 10 years. You really have gotten to know a great deal about canine behavior and behavioral problem solving, and we want to get into some of that. Puppy development, early breeding selection, canine personalities, temperaments, obedience training, building relationships between animals, and you live in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I want to know something. First, I want to know how early in life you got involved with dogs, and two, I want to know how you and Robin got together.
Well, that is a long story, but it's a good one. We got involved with dogs. I'll take you all the way back. Robin and I are actually divorced. We were married for several years, and we divorced, but we also maintained the business. And now we actually live on a very large property with the kennel that we work out of with both of our spouses. We have used a lot of our relationship development ideas amongst ourselves, but have realized that we're better off business partners than spouses.
Fascinating.
So we've maintained a long-standing business relationship. We get along fantastically. All of our spouses get along great, and we're all very good friends, and
mm-hmm.
we rely heavily on each other. But that takes us back to the original question, is how do we get involved in this? Probably about 15, 16 years ago, we bought a black Labrador Retriever in much the same way that everyone else buys a dog. It was an impulse purchase. We should have called her Easter Card Surprise because we went to buy Easter cards and came home with a black lab.
What a surprise.
What a surprise.
Bit of an Easter egg, you got a lab.
we set her on the floor and stared at her, and she stared back at us, and we knew absolutely nothing to do, what to do with this dog. And this is before any of this came into being, and she began to ruin our lives systematically, one expensive item at a time. And we got very frustrated with her, and she seemed very sad, and we really could not understand how we couldn't get this dog to do what we wanted it to do and why she wouldn't just behave. And so we started trying to go with the training route and find different things to do, and we had what we figured were some rather intelligent questions, and we really couldn't find a tremendous amount of what I would consider to be intelligent answers. Nobody could tell me why they were doing what they were doing. And this is an engineer. I'm an engineer by trade, a chemical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And this fascinated me because I like to know why. I like to know why I'm doing something rather than just do it. So we began to do some historical research and did get involved eventually with a trainer who did a very nice job but still had the limitations of when we got to why are we doing what we're doing, couldn't really come up with anything extremely concrete. So we started getting into it and started researching it, and then one thing did lead to another, and I decided to leave engineering, and we got into this. And what we did for our basis is research many different types and styles of training and behavior problems and behavior problem solving, and try to deconstruct them all the way back to their roots, as to trying to find out from as many authoritative figures as possible why they're doing what they're doing, and try to really just keep working it backwards and then rebuild it then from that foundation back out. And what the result of that is, what you see in the book and what you see in the programs that we have are things that are truly are much more to the nature of the dog and what the dog's true needs are. And in the beginning of this, you said that's the most important thing. Being a very educated owner is the most important gift that you can give to your dog.
Oh, I think so.
Not a big cozy place, not a lot about a really good food. It's just understanding what their true needs are.
And every breed has their own particulars in personality patterns. And it's not absolute, but there's, just like the terriers, before we went on air, I told you that my husband and myself, we just have a passion for terriers, especially Scottish terriers. And we've owned more than one, and each one is very much an individual, but there were certain patternings, because we got them when they were puppies. We learned that, for example, they didn't have bladder control until they were 5 months old. And then all of a sudden, it's like somebody flipped a switch and said, "You're 5 months old now, you got it all."
Yeah.
It's amazing. Little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we never blamed
we
never blamed the dog for the accidents, because we knew it was our fault. We weren't paying attention. But tell us, you know, puppies are just wonderful. Let's talk about puppies for just a minute. Because puppies, oh, they're so cute. You take them home, you want to cuddle them, you're just so excited about it. But they're just like a baby. What would you recommend?
There's a very big push out in society right now to make puppies behave like adult dogs.
You can't. It doesn't work.
There's not enough preaching and not enough teaching of patience. You have to give a puppy a certain amount of leeway. It is literally akin to bringing a newborn home and setting them down and saying, "How do I get it to stop crying?" You don't get it to stop crying. You have to figure out why it's crying and meet the need. Sometimes it's hungry. Sometimes the baby's tired. Sometimes the baby wants interaction. Sometimes the baby is just, you know, we don't know. So it needs to be burped, changed, all those sort of things. And the puppy's the same way. How do I get it to stop nipping and mouthing? You don't get it to stop. You figure out why it's doing it, and you redirect it as best as possible. Sometimes they're overtired. Sometimes they want to communicate. Sometimes they want to play. Sometimes they're hungry. Sometimes they have to go out. Sometimes they just are cranky. And you have to read that, learn why, redirect it in a variety of different ways, and then realize that sometimes you just have to put them in their crate and give them a timeout.
That's right, and I just love what you have. Now, my guest is Bill Gorton. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the 1,000 best dog training secrets, and he and Robin are the founders of Tall Tales Training back in Allenstown, Pennsylvania. And this is a wonderful book. One, it's thick. It's about an inch and a half thick, but it's written, its type is so easy to read, and you can go to any section you want. Right now we're talking about puppies. But what makes this book so handy is that it's go ahead and look in here and ask questions, and we'll hope we've got answers for you. And it's just absolutely wonderful because you categorize it in a very organized way. We're talking about puppies. We're going to be talking about dealing with older dogs. There's some things that have gone on just in the past couple of days. I'm always talking to somebody. And animals, we met someone when we were out on our walk this morning. They had a wonderful little Shih Tzu. Perfect, just a sweetheart of a dog. And yet this dog pretty much is leading the owner on the leash, which is, you know, 20 times bigger than this little tiny thing or more. And this little pipsqueak of a dog is just in charge. Ba-dum! Off it goes.
That's right. That's absolutely right. that's one of those breeds. That's one of the more misunderstood. You know, like you said, every breed comes with it its own special little genetic, built-in genetic capabilities. And the Shih Tzu is one of the ones that people that sleeps. It was an emperor's guard dog.
Uh-huh.
It has a lot of feist. It has a lot of fire. It wants to get out there and be in the lead. It's not content being a lap dog. It's not content being pampered and spoiled. It wants to get out there and mix it up.
Absolutely. Now, this brings up a very good point. You remember very well your first impulse buy.
Oh, yeah.
So here you are, and we're having this opportunity to share this with people. What would you recommend to someone who is going to go and get a dog? I recall when I was putting one of my Scotties through dog obedience classes, and there was a woman that had this dog. My gracious, he was almost as big as a St. Bernard. She lived in an apartment. She was in this dog training class because she couldn't manage the animal, and she was keeping this animal tied up around a tree when she was off at work during the day, and she was wondering why she couldn't control him when he got home. And I'll never forget the woman who was in charge of the class. She said, "You have got the wrong dog, madam. You should not have this dog."
Right, right.
So how can people assess or evaluate the type of dog they should have? We all can love dogs, period, but living with one and having one as a companion, we need to think about this, because this is a big decision. They can be with us anywhere from 12 to 17 years. I've known people whose dogs live to be 20.
Absolutely. That's one of the harder things, too, because a lot of the material that's out there is not what I would call or unbiased. You know, when you pick up something and read it, it sounds like, oh, it's a wonderful this and it's a wonderful that. And I think, in general, more balanced information needs to be out there. So I think doing things like visiting training classes in your local area, going to out and meeting dogs and meeting their owners, and getting a good idea of what the pros and cons are of each one, do some breed-specific research as far as what they're originally bred for. Little ones like the Yorkies as well are meant to be ratters. They were used in England. Miners would put them in their coat pocket and take them into the mine.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And if they saw a rat, they'd take out the little dog, and he would go kill the rat and come back over, and back in the pocket it would go. And again, you know, this has evolved into one of the dogs that is on the, you know, the list of sitting on the couches and sitting on the laps and in the beds, and then they wonder why it barks constantly, because you're mixing, it's confused about what its role is. So you have to really understand what your dog comes with. And like you said, there are very big mismatches, and what you may want in a dog may not be what's a good mix. If you're a rather sedentary couple, or if you're a rather sedentary person, you like to come home and be a couch potato, don't get a Labrador Retriever.
Oh.
You know, get a pug, or, you know, something that doesn't need a huge amount of physical exercise, or a bulldog, or something that you may go, well, that's not my ideal of, you know, the fun dog or the catalog dog that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a dog that's going to match your personality and your activity level, so that you will actually have a much more enjoyable relationship with it, other than, you know, you're coming home at the end of the day, your dog has been at home, your dog is rested and ready for fun and excitement, and you just want to lay down and prop your feet up. You want a dog who's going to be physically tired in about 5 minutes. So you don't want a triathlete. You don't want a dog that wants to get out there and go see things and people and be this and be out there. You want a dog who's going to be able to take a quick run around the block, do its thing, and then be happy to come back in and just chill out with you and maybe play with a toy a little bit, but mostly just relax and be with you. So you have to be very upfront with yourself, number one, about your situation, your personality, and what you want, and then find a very, not the cute view, don't do the cute view, because the cute and fuzzy view is the one that gets you into trouble. Oh, this dog is so cute and fuzzy. Well, the cute and fuzzy one wants to run around for 5 hours at the end of the day, or
mm-hmm.
three walks a day for at least a mile, or something along those lines. So you have to match the wants and your needs,
Oh, yes. I recall a neighborhood lady that had the most exquisite Afghan. And she was involved in a rescue program. And she got this dog because she wanted to go out and have exercise. And, of course, this animal is a large animal. And it took the care it took to brush the coat of this Afghan. She had to brush this coat two or three times a day. That was just imperative because
right.
it was a very fine hair. And so, obviously, her house had a lot of dog hair in it because mm-hmm. that's what happens when you have a dog with long hair. And I chuckle when I think about that because, but she was happy. This suited her lifestyle. This was a very gentle animal. This was a very easy animal for her to work with. And it fit her life beautifully. I have a friend who lives in another state from myself, and whenever we have a get-together, we're always talking about her little corgi, Nana. And they are very intelligent dogs. In fact, I was talking with her this morning, and I can remember her telling me how when she got the corgi, she was thrilled with it, but she never realized it was constantly shedding.
Oh, okay.
So here she's got a corgi. She has lint rolls all over the house. But she wouldn't give up this dog for the world. But she had to change the way she lived in her house because of all of this hair that is constantly coming out all year round.
Absolutely.
So these are things people don't think of. Now, one of the points that I would like to cover, and you have so many wonderful things in here. We were talking about puppies, when to use a crate, housebreaking, all of these valuable tips. And this is 1,000 best dog training secrets. I'd like to jump forward to the other end of the spectrum.
Okay.
I would like to talk, if you don't mind, Bill, about older dogs.
Okay.
We have just a short time. In fact, we're going to be meeting with some people this week who have a rescue system. They rescue, because we love Scotties so much, we're interested in that, this particular group. They rescue these Scotties. They come in from all over the country, and they're mostly older dogs. People dump older dogs frequently.
Right.
It's a sad, sad story, but they do. So they're rescued. If someone wanted to adopt an older dog, what are some of the things they need to be aware of? Because not everybody's going to want to deal with a puppy.
Right. Older dogs, when I think of an older dog, we look at ages maybe 7 and beyond. And that to me is an older dog.
Okay.
The older dogs they are far enough along in their timelines where they're pretty much set. They don't change a tremendous amount. Now, there can be things that you can change, but if you change something about your older dog, it's always like putting on a coat. You're just kind of covering what's already there. You're not really changing them fundamentally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a dog that has a house soiling problem, it's probably going to have a house soiling problem. If you have a dog that does bark, it's probably going to bark. That's the biggest thing is, I think, when you bring an older dog into your house is acceptance. You have to accept some things about this older dog. They have different physical needs. In the book, I'll just digress just a moment. In the book, we talk about balancing your dog's life, and we talk about four aspects: mental, physical, social, and rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that balance changes throughout your dog's life in the different stages. And when you get to be an older dog, you have that balance shifts more away from physical activity and into social behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think the neat thing is with older dogs is that, and I've seen some people that we've counseled starting to do some of this, is they'll take them to a park, but instead of walking around the park, they'll take a chair or they'll sit on a bench and they'll just sit with this little dog and people just come by and adore it.
Mm-hmm.
And that to them is more important than the physical walk around the park. They want social stimulation more. They need social stimulation more. It has almost the same equivalency as we get older. If we don't continue to get ourselves out and be socially stimulated, of course, now we're not going to go out as 60, 70-year-old people and bicycle around the park. We're going to go out and sit in the bench and talk. So they have very similar things. As we equated puppies and newborns, we also can equate older folks, seniors, and older dogs. They have different needs. They have different wants. And make sure that there is enough. You know, we don't want to rescue an old dog and have it come in and then just keep it. We want to get it out. We want to have it see things and people and really just socialize the heck out of it, re-socialize the heck out of it, so that it just gets out and sees things and is adored and loved and you know, just experiences as much of things as they can possibly do. But they'll do it from a much more sedentary sort of way. Some dogs are just out there still, you know, they still get a spring in their step up until, you know, they, you know, a few months before they pass.
Mm-hmm.
I have a German Shepherd right now who's 11, and his physical body is failing a little bit. He has a hard time getting up and downstairs. He doesn't do things the way he used to do. He can't run around, but he still likes to hang out.
Sure.
So we'll pop him in the car or in the Jeep, and we'll just take him somewhere, and then we'll sit. And we'll sit out and look at the field, and he'll sit and he'll look, and he likes to go see places and people and things, but you know, it's just a different way of doing it. And
mm-hmm.
I think just because if your dog has reached a physical limit, there's no reason why their mental limits can't be expanded, and there's no reason why their social limits shouldn't be expanded.
Now, you also have a portion, and this is what I loved about your book. And for those of you that are listening, again, I want to repeat the title, 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets. Robin and Bill have a real passion for dogs. And when you go through the book, you'll be able to find out about dog etiquette, creating manners, obedience training, dealing with the older dog, dealing with the puppy, the various things that are needed at various stages in a dog's life. And they're bonding with you. All of these wonderful aspects, behavior problem solving, toys and games. Let's talk about therapy dogs a little bit, because
mm-hmm.
there are so many people that are finding that this is very satisfying to them, to be able to take their pet into hospitals and various facilities and interact with people. What type of a dog? And I've seen bunnies, I've seen birds, I've seen dogs. But let's get that, because we're talking about dogs today. What kind of a dog, regardless of the breed, is best suited for therapy work?
Just a dog that has a really outgoing personality, very effervescent, not necessarily hyperactive, but just, you know, bubbly,
mm-hmm.
happy, or one that is just quiet and enjoys, you know, being petted or those sort of nice, quiet activities. Generally, you know, just anything that just has an enjoyment of people is a really good candidate. Then what you'll do is if you have a dog that has that level of personality, and unfortunately not everybody does, but because some dogs are much more individualistic, they like their owners and that's about it. You know, I have a German Shepherd who's a most wonderful companion, but he would not make a good therapy dog.
Sure, yeah, because he'd probably say, excuse me, you're violating my territory. Your hand is gone. Yeah.
Yes, well, not quite that, but he won't even bother. I'll say, go say hi to this person, and walk over and kind of nudge their hand with his nose and then walk away. That's all the interaction he wants or needs. So if you have a dog who enjoys that interaction, you'll need to get some basic skills in place so that, yes, when you take them to the places, you'll need to have them walk nicely on a leash and sit and down and have patience and not use their paws and not do things that would cause injury to the people. And there is a whole series of tests and information that's out there that you can look up online that if you do a search for therapy dogs, it'll give you tests and the requirements and those sort of things. But the other half of that is just as important is therapy dog burnout, in that you have to realize that when you take a dog into those situations, they're absorbing a lot. They're absorbing a lot of the whatever this person is giving or needing from this dog, it is absorbing or giving, and it needs downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And just like social workers, when they get out there and they're given and given and given and they're working and they're absorbing all this, they have to learn to not take it on themselves. They have to learn to leave it behind. And dogs are the same way. Dogs can come home very emotionally exhausted after a therapy session, especially if there are special needs children involved.
Mm-hmm.
Robin does some very nice work with special needs and emotionally and emotionally and mentally challenged children that helps them draw the children out because the children no longer want rewards from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person telling them that's a good thing doesn't mean anything, but a dog or something fuzzy that they can pet will draw them out. But the dogs are so tired at the end of these interactions because they're getting all that emotional energy turned around that they need that downtime or they need structured releases so that they can then go back in. Otherwise, they do burn out and they get tired of it.
Amazing. Well, as you can tell, we have covered a number of different aspects. There's just no way. We don't have enough time to cover it all. So we have to get the book in. There's just so much you can talk about. I just have such a passion for animals anyway. But dogs, I have stories, and I know, Bill, we probably could talk for 2 years
and never be able to
cover it all. But your wonderful book, 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets, and Bill Gorton, that's G-O-R-T-O-N is the spelling, and then Robin, her last name is A-C-H-E-Y, and both of you are to be complimented because of your being able, with all of the changes that went on in your life, to be able to live a life that's dedicated to these wonderful, wonderful animals and to be able to help people understand that their pets are very special, just like what you were saying about the therapy dogs. Animals read people very well. I've been around so many of them, so many different species of animals. They sense things and know things that we're just beginning to understand in our own finite ways. And your book has so much wonderful information in it. Make a great gift if somebody is thinking about getting a puppy. If you're wanting to get a dog, an older dog, if you're wanting to get into maybe working with therapy dogs or any kind of therapy animals, this is something that is a wonderful book, 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets. Now, Bill, we want to give out your website, and that's talltailstraining.com. That's tall, T-A-I-L-S, training.com. And what are they going to find on your website, Bill?
Well, they're going to, when they get to the homepage, there's a couple of different sections that they can go to. They can learn a little bit more about us. There's some information that they can get directly off of there. There's links to this book, to how to purchase this book. There's also links on how to purchase our other book, our first book called Dog Training's Big Picture, and that is basically about the art of building your relationship with your dog. It's a more a narrative piece of 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets. So there's some links to get to those. There's some information that they can have, and generally just a few things that they can just enjoy on their own.
Well, this is a book I would recommend very highly because I think it is very clear. And, of course, there's always their wonderful facility in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and you just have to go to their website to find out more, talltails, T-A-I-L-S, training.com. Bill, in our closing of our chat today, what thought would you like to leave with my listeners regarding dogs?
Well, you hit it best in the first few minutes, is that the better you can understand your dog, the better owner you will be. And if you want to be that best owner, just go get as much information as you can. There is no one thing that is the absolute. It's, you know, some things will work for some, may not work for others. So go get as much information as you can and be the best owner that you can be, and that's an educated owner. And that will make your dog very happy.
And you have his book that you can also get, 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets. Bill Gorton, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break for just a moment. And don't forget, our phone lines are going to be open. If you want to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322 for those of you in Canada. Don't forget, go to Bill's site, talltailstraining.com. You'll be so glad you did. You've got a resource you didn't know was going to be made available to you today. Donna Sebo, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we're so glad you're able to join us for this hour of Mind Power. Now, I do want to give out our toll-free numbers again. So if you have not written them down, do so. The toll-free number here in the U.S. of A. is 877-876-5227. 1-800-875-5227 if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. And those of you in Canada, our toll-free number for you is 888-0-8322. And don't forget, I'm going to be in Alaska and New York this month. If you'd like to meet with me for a private session, I'm going to be available. Also, I'm hoping to get to California in October. So let's go to our caller who's been waiting very patiently. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Tammy from Milwaukee.
Okay, now, I couldn't quite hear you, dear, so could you speak up a little louder? Is it Tammy?
Yes, correct. Tammy from Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've got some friends that just absolutely love that part of the world, especially during the summer. All right, Tammy, what I'm observing with you is quite a bit of hard work. You are a person that's not afraid of tackling the unknown. However, I will have to say this. You're getting tired of tackling the unknown. You really need to retreat a little bit, give some time to yourself, and be able to have what I guess I would say retreat time. You are such a doer that that's not always easy for you. You feel like you've got to be constantly pushing and moving forward, because if you're not, then you're going to feel as if nothing's going to happen. I want you to understand that part of the learning that you're going through right now is making it okay to trust the universe does know what it's doing, and then releasing what you cannot control. Trust and release. And believe me, I know how difficult that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that you're going through because you're coming into a whole new level of experience and education in your life. Beginning about the 10th of October of this year, it's running about a two-year cycle. In that two-year cycle, you're going to be changing your mind about what you want to do, how you want to do it, and the way you want to do it. This is going to have such a significant impact on you that within a relatively short period of time, you're going to be able to move forward in your professional and personal level of life with a momentum that you've wanted to do for the past 15 years. And it just seems like you keep getting kicked into positionings you in no way in this world even wanted to explore. You have had some real unique situations in your life these past 15 years, and you say to yourself, I should write a book. And you should. You should. Because it allows people to see that life has its twists and turns. And you're a very good communicator. I think your communication skills have really improved over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And but, hon, you need to do something for yourself. You really do. Don't
yes.
think that you're going to go backwards. You're not.
Okay.
You need to have your downtime. It's
mm-hmm.
all right. You
mm-hmm.
need to have that recoup time because October is really going to have its momentum.
Okay.
So go with it. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm curious with the family situation. My brother just recently got engaged, and I'm just curious to find out what things are going to be like for he and his fiance moving forward.
Now, this absolutely tickles me no end. Here you are, and you're so concerned about them, and you need to be more concerned about yourself. But that's okay. That's just who you are. Now, what I would say to you, Tammy, is this. Your brother is terrified of getting married. I don't think he's going to acknowledge that. But I really think that he is so concerned about getting married. And
right.
yet, he would make a very fine husband and father. He's just
mm-hmm.
he's just a nice guy. There are just some issues, I think, that he's not quite worked through. And I would like to think that he and his wife-to-be will take the time to really explore good conversation with each other, so that they can develop that sense of rapport and trust
mm-hmm.
that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has had, I'm seeing her emotionally bruised from the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's
right.
had his emotional bruises.
Yes.
Life is this way, all right? None of us are going to get through life without being kicked in the shins and bopped in the noggin periodically with experiences. Again, we're not standing out on a street corner and saying, oh, yes, universe, please give this to me. I really want it. No, we're not doing that. But it happens.
Right.
And my concern with the two of them is if they don't give enough time to each other, to really listen. Not, gee whiz, I wish and have stars in the eyes and everything should be magnificently wonderful. Because once the sparkle dust goes away of illusion, and you're looking at each other first thing in the morning and you say, good God, did I really think I wanted to marry this?
Right, right.
You know?
I hear ya.
And I just don't think they've given themselves enough time.
Right.
And they're both caught in the thinking that, gee whiz, if I do this, I'll be safe. They're looking to each other to give them the safety net that they are feeling they're missing in their life. And that's not a good way to go into the marriage.
Right. Okay.
So there's not a heck of a lot you're going to be able to do about this, but what I would encourage you to do is whenever they come into your mind and you get anxious, just visualize yourself in conversation with them and saying, love is a wonderful thing, but take time to get to know each other.
Right. Okay.
They've never had that with anyone in their lives as a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is a very, very rich gift. When
right.
you can have a spouse, a partner, that is a friend, and there is that trust there.
Right. Okay. Well, I do have a question regarding my housing situation. Just wondering if you see anything in the future for me in that situation.
Well, it all depends on what you want.
Well,
if you want to change the housing situation, give yourself a good year to really do all the homework you need to do, and then the move will be very, very fast.
Okay.
And that's what you need to do. You need to do your homework. Because
okay.
there's a number of places. I'm looking at 3 or 4 places you could easily move to if that's what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a side of you that doesn't want to move yet because of your finances and the things that you're working on. Don't worry about it. Things
okay.
are going to start moving for you after the 10th of October.
Okay.
You're fine there.
Great. Well, wonderful. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. It's a delight having you on the air. Be sure you tell your friends about bbsradio.com and the Donna Sebo Show.
Will do. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tammy. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, yes, the second half of the show, unless it's an open mic day, the second half of the show is always open up to you. So here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227, and that's if you're in the U.S. of A. Or if you're from Canada, 888-810-8322. I want to tell you, I came across this recipe for quesadillas. Do you like those? I love them. And I just think they are so neat and handy if you want to fix them or want to fix something for yourself quickly to munch on. And it doesn't have to be really fatty stuff. So let me share this with you because it's vegetable quesadillas. And for those of you that may not be familiar with the word quesadilla, it's spelled Q-U-E-S-A-D-I-L-L-A-S. And, oh, this is terrific. If you're wanting to be low-fat, if you're just wanting veggies, you could add meat to this. You could do anything. But it's this simple. Now, this is a vegetable quesadilla. What you're going to need, you're going to need some cooking spray because it's going to keep those calories down, but also make it easy to prepare this. You need to have one red bell pepper and 1 green bell pepper, and you want to chop them up. Maybe you like coarsely chopped. Maybe you like it finely chopped. You chop it any way you like. You're going to need 1/2 cup of diced onion. And again, you can make it chunky. You can make it fine, whatever you like. 2 small tomatoes, and you want to cut these into maybe about 6 slices. And by the way, this can make 4 servings. If you want to do this. And you're going to have those 2 small tomatoes, again, cut into 6 slices. And you're going to need 4 10-inch flour tortillas. Now, you can also do this with corn tortillas, if you like. And there's the whole wheat tortillas. I mean, we've got so many things. You've got the blue corn tortillas. So whatever one you like to work with. The flour, I think, is the easiest. They have the soft texture. But the others you can use, too. Then you're going to need 3/4 cup of shredded cheese, mozzarella, you can use cheddar cheese, and if you want it low fat, use the low fat. And it won't, if you use the low fat, you're not going to have as much grease sometimes coming out. And then you're going to need 6 tablespoons of sour cream, and again, you can use the fat free if you want. And last but not least, 1 cup of salsa. You don't want to miss that salsa, and whatever you like goes. I like mine spicy. Okay, now this is all you have to do. This is so, so simple. Spray a large non-stick skillet with your cooking spray. Now, this has to be over medium-high heat. You want to saute your peppers. You want to saute your onions together. It'll take about 4 minutes, and you'll be the judge of it. You want it so that the moisture is going to come out of those vegetables. And then what you want to do is add your tomatoes in and saute for only a minute, because otherwise those tomatoes are going to get mushy. So you just want to saute them for a minute. Then you take the veggies out of the pan, spray the pan again, and add one tortilla to your pan. And then you want to top your tortilla with about 3 tablespoons of mozzarella cheese. And if you're like me, you cheat. You always add more than that. And then you want to take about two-thirds of a cup of your veggie mixture, put it over the cheese, fold the tortilla in half, and then you want to grill it for about 2 minutes on each side. And you can cut that into wedges when you're sliding it onto a plate. And all you do then is top it with some sour cream or a quarter of a cup of salsa. Or better yet, just put the sour cream and the salsa out on the table and let people help themselves. And that's all you have to do. You do that with all 4 of your tortillas, and it's absolutely wonderful. Now, if you're going to use the corn tortillas, the blue corn tortillas, or a tortilla that has a denser texture to it, usually they come small. So just put one on top of the other. That's right, one on top of the other. And then just flip it over carefully, and, you know, like you're doing a grilled cheese sandwich. So you have the 2 tortillas, and then you cut them into wedges. Oh, it's so good. And again, kids, oh, they're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's a quick fix, and it's something that's nutritionally good for you. And you can add, if you wanted to add some meat or some chicken or a little bit of fish, you know. Leftovers are great for this. It's absolutely wonderful. Great leftover idea, too. So that's just a tip I thought I would share with you today. This is Donna Siebel. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, give me a buzz on 877-876-5227 or from Canada, 888-810-8322. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Now, don't forget, I'm going to be in Alaska and New York City this month, and I'm hoping to be in California in October. If you want to find out more about where I am going to be and how you can reach me, if you'd like to have a private session, call my office at 800-872-8852, or you can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, DelphiInternational.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd be delighted to chat with you. If there's no one to talk to, I'm going to have some wonderful things to share. So don't you go away. We're going to be right back. Hi, this is Donna Siebel, and we've got a caller on the line. Quickly, before I go to the caller, I want to remind you that I am going to be visiting Anchorage and Fairbanks, Alaska, this next week. Then I'm going to be flying to New York City. And if you have friends or if you would like to meet me privately while I'm in any of those areas, just give me a buzz at 800-872-8852. And I'm hoping to get into California during October. Donna Siebel here. We've got a listener who's been waiting very patiently on the line. Thank you so much for doing so. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My name is Steve, and I'm from El Dorado Hills, California.
El Dorado Hills. Well, now, where is that?
It's just in the foothills west of South Lake Tahoe.
Oh, my goodness. That is a level of God's country if ever there was one.
Well, usually. Right now we're dealing with a lot of smoke in the air from a forest fire for the last several days.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. That is not fun. Yes, I was born and raised in California, so I have a deep love for the state. It's an incredible place. Let's get down to business with you, Steve.
Yes.
The first thing that I am looking at is business is not as usual. There are some real situations that you are finding that you need to really be attentive to. And I'd love to see you interacting with some individuals that you would consider mentors. And I'm looking at 1, 2, 3. It could be anywhere from 3 to 5 people, each of whom are very skilled in their levels of expertise, and you need to be talking with them, brainstorming with them, and then take from what they give you what is going to serve your changing needs the best. There's a lot on your plate, and I am seeing you saying to yourself, is there any way I can get rid of some of this stuff that's on my plate of life? I'm feeling as if there's a pile that's being created here, and I don't want all of it. The answer is yes. However, you will have to be very discriminating about what you take off of your plate of life and activity so that you don't undermine your personal objectives. That's very important. So timeliness is an issue for you. I respect that. But I also feel you need to be able to get some information and perspectives from people that are not in your space. They're on the outside looking in. And that will enable you to develop a level of flexibility that will promote the changes that you see are necessary within the short term and also the long term. And when I'm saying long term, I'm looking at for a year. I'd say by December the 12th of 2007. Now, as I'm observing you in the immediate, I think it's very important that you be able to articulate what it is that is your first and foremost priority. You should have maybe three. And then anything else after those top three priorities, but absolutely one of the three that's the number one. And if you do that, you're going to be able to sort of wrap around a particular area of concern that you have the action, the follow-through that is needed for the result that you want. And that is so very important for you. So very, very important for you. So I want you to be patient, but I know that you've got to put forth some action here. There are some things that you need to implement. And I think it's in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Could be 2 to 3 days. It could be that soon.
Yes.
However, you need to be able to interact with some people who can use their views clearly so that you can see options. You're not going to be able to do it yourself because you're too close to it.
Yes.
Am I making sense?
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
When you said articulate my top three priorities, are you saying that I need to be able to articulate them to myself or to my mentors?
Both.
Any idea how I find my mentors?
I think what you need to do is figure out what the number one priority is. Then what I would do is, you've got a number of friends, and you can just approach them with a thought saying, I've got a particular challenge. Would you mind if I chat to you about it for just a couple of minutes? Maybe you know of someone that can give me some insight. And talk to them.
Okay.
And just keep it short. Make it less than 3 minutes. And they may say, you know, I've got this gal that helped me when I was in this situation. Or they may say, gee, tell me more about this. Maybe I can help you. You
right.
See what I'm doing with it? I'm not saying I expect an answer from this person that I'm talking to, but I'm presenting it in such a way that I'm articulate. And two, I'm saying, if you don't know an answer, or if you don't, would you know of someone? Basically, you're asking them, do you know of someone that can give me a perspective on this?
Okay.
And then that gives them the freedom to choose to say, yes, I have something I can give you in the way of insight. Or they'll say, I know someone that can help you on this. Or they may say, I haven't a clue. And that's all right. But you need to start asking for it.
Which I don't do right now.
Well, it's pretty hard to ask people, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because we like to think that we're supposed to be the person that has all the answers. Well, believe me, my friend, you don't. I don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. But there's a lot of people with a lot of different talents and experience that can give us insights that we otherwise wouldn't have access to if we didn't open our mouths and ask. That was a tough one for me to learn.
Now, most of what I'm dealing with is tied into some problems that my wife has also to deal with. Can you see anything of how she's going to be approaching what she has to deal with?
All right. I'm challenged here because I've got about 30 seconds and the show's going to be over.
All right.
So I regret I'm not going to be able to go into conversation on that at this time.
Okay.
Because if we don't have the time, the show time is gone. But I want to thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you, Donna.
And I so appreciate your being a participant in the show. And tell your friends about the Donna Sebo Show on
BBSRadio.com. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Steve. Have a fabulous day. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we are out of time. It goes by so fast. But remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great one. We've got a great show tomorrow. Don't want to miss any of it. We're going to be talking about future hike. Bye for now. Talk to you tomorrow.